Well, good morning, everyone. I'm so intimidated by Oliver's introduction. He doesn't know that as a children's ministry volunteer, there's no really promotion for, you know, being nice to the boss. I don't know, but I need to tell him that. But anyways, it's good to be with you today. And I haven't been here in a while, and so I am excited to be here, especially. And some of you might be wondering, you know, I haven't seen Leslie in a while, and has her diet gone off the deep end? I'm not sure. Well, we're excited that, you know, we're having a little boy in October, so we're excited about that, yes. I tell my husband this to follow this rule, though, when it comes to women being pregnant. Maybe you do the same thing, but never, ever ask a woman if she's pregnant unless you actually see a baby being born. Even then, act surprised. So thankfully, he's followed that rule. Yeah. Thankfully, he's followed that rule and, you know, avoided some awkward situations, you know, in some tight places where you can't really get out of that situation. So thankfully, he's listened to me, and he has followed that. But we're excited to have a little boy in October, so we're good for that. A few years ago, Jack Groppel spoke at the Leadership Summit, and he's a fascinating speaker and a leader, and he runs a center down in Orlando, Florida, that welcomes athletes and law enforcement officers, business executives, health professionals. And they come to his center so that they can increase performance in whatever area that they're, you know, that they're a part of. So back a few years ago, this is like 10 years ago, he tells this story. So take a look at the video here.
Well, we told these four monster men in the NFL that we had a mission for them. There's a wilderness trail that goes behind our property. It goes toward the airport in Orlando. And your mission is to run out this trail. You're to run a 9-minute mile. At the 1-mile marker, there's a white fence that comes out to the trail. Your mission is to touch the white fence and then run back in 9 minutes, 18 minutes total. They said that's all we have to do is touch the white fence. That's it. Just touch the white fence. That's it. They said, okay. So they sat down, they started putting their running shoes on. Now we have rules of engagement. Gentlemen, you're going to be running through the swamp. There's a canal that runs by this trail. Alligator migrate in and out of this canal. Keep your eyes open. And gentlemen, it's sunny outside. Poisonous snakes will be sunning themselves on the trail. Now, they won't bother you, but if you see a snake coiled up, steer clear and go around it. They got to the front door. We had our stopwatches ready. Oh, guys, sorry, we forgot to tell you. Just yesterday, we sighted some wild boar out there. Now, these wild pigs, gentlemen, are bigger than you are. They have razor-sharp tusks, and they will attack you unprovoked. So if you encounter a wild boar, you must take appropriate action. But above all else, gentlemen, you must, what, everybody, in the face of the storm, complete the mission. What's the mission? Touch the white fence. Ready? Go! So they took off. I want you to get this mental picture, because two of our team members were hiding in the bushes. Here are these big mammoth men in the NFL jogging down this dirt road in the tropics. They're looking around, they hear the bugs. One of our team members leaned over, grabbed a small bush and went. We had a video camera. Would you like to see the tape? Here's what you're looking at now. Let's come back to the model that we're going to present to you today. Here's what you're looking at. You are looking at what happens to a human being when confronted by a storm for which they are not prepared. Let's run the tape, please. They showed up and go, welcome back. You touched the white fence?
No.
No? Why not?
We heard something.
What do you mean you heard something? And then they actually stuttered. There was a wild boar in the bushes. Then we showed them the tape.
mortified.
But what drives this home is what happened the very next week. The very next week, and I don't have this tape because these gentlemen cannot have their faces photographed in any way whatsoever, but we had four elite team members of the FBI SWAT program, and we did the same thing with them. The mission is what, everybody? Touch the white fence. Got to do it in 18 minutes. Watch out for the alligator. Watch out for the snakes. Watch out for the wild boar. If you encounter a wild boar, you must take appropriate action, but above all else, complete the mission. They took off. Our two team members were hiding in the same spot. Grabs the same bush. This is what the FBI did. The guy holding the camera went, "What if they brought their guns?"
What a great example of when you are faced with opposition, what you really believe comes out, whether there was a real boar there or not, what you really believe comes out when you're faced with that trial or you're faced with that difficulty. And the same is true in life. You're on a mission, and it's not to touch a white fence through the woods. You're on a mission to follow Jesus in your home, in your work, in your community, and all the other endeavors that you're on in life. However, accomplishing this mission, though, is not as simple as it might seem. Life has its struggles and its storms, its wild snakes and boars, you might assume. They're unforeseen. They're not expected. There's circumstances and situations that may come face to face with us, and these might be small decisions that don't seem to make a big deal, and all the way to those major choices that seem to shape your character. We're followers of Jesus, and as a follower of Jesus, you do not know the measure and strength of your faith until it is tested. As a follower of Jesus, you do not know the measure and strength of your faith until it is tested. Well, today we're continuing in the book of Acts, and we're going to discover ways in which to accomplish this mission of following Jesus, even in the midst of difficulties, even in the midst of life uncertainties. But first, let's pray. Dear God, we do thank you for this time together. We thank you for the opportunity to be here in your church, to worship you collectively as your body. And so, Lord, we ask and we pray and we invite your spirit to come and to teach us, to lead us, to guide us here. Call us further, call us deeper into following you. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, 2 weeks ago, we read in Acts chapter 3, and in case you weren't here or you don't remember that far back, Acts chapter 3 is a witness account of Peter and John healing a crippled man. And this man, he, for all of his life, he was unable to walk, and so he had people bring him to the temple grounds and sit him down, and he begged. He begged for a living. And Peter and John, disciples of Jesus, come to where this man is, and the man again asks for money, but Peter and John first say, "I have something better to give to you." And they tell the man about his need for forgiveness, and so then they perform the miracle. And so we have record of that in Acts chapter 3, and now this man is able to leap, to walk, to run around like everyone else that he saw going past him in the temple. And now, though, Peter and John are called into question for their actions. And the truth is, though, there was no denying that the man, a well-known crippled man, is now walking all along the streets of Jerusalem. And as you can imagine, the religious leaders were not happy about the fact that Peter and John said that all of this happened. The miracle happened, what you're seeing, people excited, all of this is a result of Jesus Christ. You can imagine that did not make them happy at all. And so we're going to pick up the story now, Acts chapter 4, and we're going to read to see what happens next with Peter and John. Let's see. So Acts chapter 4, it will be on the screen, or if you have your own Bible, you can follow along, but we're going to start in verse 1. It says, "The priest and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed, because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed. So the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. The next day, the rulers, the elders, and the teacher of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas the high priest was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and others of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power or what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin and then conferred together. What are we going to do with these men? They asked. Everyone living in Jerusalem knows they have performed a notable sign, and we cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn them to speak no longer to anyone in this name. Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, Which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. Any further threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had happened. For the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through your mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. What an amazing story. What an amazing account that we have, a witness account of what happened there in the book of Acts. And this is a story of a person, namely Peter, who's living life on mission in the midst of all of life's unforeseen circumstances and difficulties. This was Peter living on mission. And so from this account in Acts, I just want us to look at three ways in which a person who's living life on mission as a follower of Jesus, three ways that you should be living, how your faith should be living. So first, we're going to see that your belief is challenged. Second, that your belief is contagious. And then thirdly, your belief is courageous. But first, your belief is challenged. So Peter and John are explaining this miracle to all the religious leaders, and these leaders immediately try to stop what they're doing. Look at all these attempts that the religious leaders have. You can see it on the screen, that Peter and John were imprisoned, they were questioned, they were warned, but none of those oppositions stopped them. Their belief system was challenged, you know, the reason for what they were doing was questioned. But what they did, that wasn't a questionable act, healing someone who was disabled. Some people would say that was a charitable deed or a positive mark on society, certainly not a crime. Well, think about it. Your faith will be challenged. The reason you follow Jesus in his ways will be questioned. And many times, it's because you're being compassionate or considerate, generous, kind, truthful. Those aren't crimes. But you see, the ways of Jesus are contrary to the idolizations of the world and of those people around you. The people around you, many times the thoughts of the world are to get ahead in life. That's their mission. All the people around us seem to always want to get ahead of life at whoever's expense. And so as you live on mission for Jesus, you're to follow him and his ways, not everyone else. Well, at age 26, Ken Elzinga, he became a professor at the University of Virginia. And after a tenured colleague warned him that being explicit about his faith would probably hinder his ability to become a tenured professor, Professor Elzinga was a little stunned when he came on campus and he saw his face right on a poster in a very prominent location on campus. A campus ministry, Christian ministry, was just advertising what Professor Elzinga was going to be speaking on in an upcoming meeting of theirs. And so Professor Elzinga was a relatively new believer, and he was a little bit worried. He was thinking, well, what will my colleagues think of me if they saw this picture and see what I'm speaking about? Or would this hinder my ability to be tenured? So all these thoughts are running through his head, and he has like a dark night of the soul. And he sneaks out that night from his house and goes back to campus and takes down the poster. The next morning, though, he puts it back up. Because you see, after a night of soul searching and thinking through things, he realized that his life was not going to be about career advancement and what other people thought of him. His mission was to live for Jesus. His mission was to have an audience of one. And why was that so liberating for him? Because he realized that having a mission to follow Jesus was so much more important. So much more liberating, so much more releases you of other people's opinions and allows you to live courageously. In fact, if you go to Professor Elzinga's website, he is a very well sought after professor speaker. 40 years later, he is still on the circuit of speaking. He's won distinguished awards, and his website says that his number one interest is following Jesus Christ. Following Jesus Christ. Because being private about his faith was not an option. He knew that his faith would be challenged, but that was okay. As a follower of Jesus, your belief will be challenged. In fact, I say it must be challenged. Your faith must be challenged in order for you to mature and deepen as a follower who's living on mission for Jesus. James is another disciple of Jesus, and this is what he wrote in his book. He said, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." That's the goal. Your faith, your belief system, who you believe, why you believe. It needs to be tested. It needs to be challenged in order for you to continue growing and maturing as a follower of Jesus Christ. So first, to live on mission for Jesus, your belief is challenged. Secondly, your belief is contagious. Your belief is contagious. All throughout the book of Acts, we see the faith of Jesus spreading all throughout. And it's because of the faith of Peter and John, the message of Peter and John. And so people tried to tell them to stop telling others about Jesus, but they said they couldn't stop. You'll see on the screen different ways that they responded, and that people were placing their faith in Jesus Christ because of the contagious faith of Peter and John. These men said that they couldn't keep quiet about it, that 5,000, many believed, all these people are coming, and they couldn't stop telling what they had seen and heard. Even the religious leaders admitted that there was something special going on and that they saw people praising God for all of his work in this miracle. Well, genuine faith is contagious, and it testifies to the greatness of God. Peter and John couldn't help but telling other people what had happened. And when you're a follower of Jesus, you cannot help but tell others of what God has done in your life. As a follower of Jesus, you cannot help but live like Jesus. When you're a follower of Jesus, your life is contagious. Your belief in Jesus controls the way that you think, the way that you speak, The way that you act, the way that you think, the way that you respond to other people, the way that you respond to God. But your belief and your faith can't just be contagious to those around you. It has to be contagious to you in every area of your life, inside of yourself, as well as the way in which everything that you touch around you. Now, some of you sit here today and you're not sure how to have a contagious faith. You're passionate about Jesus and you're a follower of him, yet you feel as though everyone around you, they're not placing their faith in Jesus Christ, as we see the story here in Acts. You feel as though your faith's not contagious. You're more like a repellent than a magnet. Well, my encouragement to you is to not give up living like Jesus and to make sure that your life on mission is following the command that Jesus gave us as his followers. In John chapter 13, he says, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." The best way to be contagious with your faith is to live and love like Jesus. Love opens many doors that would have remained closed if genuine care and concern were not expressed first. Love is present, whether a desired outcome comes about in a certain person or situation. But love is a process too. The person or persons you may hope and pray come to faith are on a journey just like you. A well-known evangelist and speaker, Cliff Konecki, he put it this way, about a process of how people come to faith in Jesus. He said, "A person's coming to Christ is like a chain with many links. There are many influences and conversations that precede a person's decision to convert to Christ. I know the joy of being the first link at times, a middle link usually, and occasionally the last link. God has not called me to only be the last link." You see, as you live contagiously, you don't even know where you are in the process, in the journey of another person who is around you. But the challenge is to continue to live contagiously. In their book, Contagious Christianity, Mark Middleburg and Bill Hybels give reasons why you should have a contagious faith. They also mention the cost of having contagious faith. Some of these might sound familiar to you or hit close to home, but these are some of the costs they mention. Time and energy, reading, studying, maybe to find an answer or to give an explanation. Money, there's a risk of embarrassment, rejection, persecution, and it complicates your life. But the rewards of having contagious Christianity or contagious faith far outweighs the cost, because there's nothing like the adventure of being used by God to contagiously spread his love, his truth, his life to others, to people who matter deeply to him. So live on mission for Jesus, and may your faith be challenged. Your faith needs to be contagious. And lastly, your belief needs to be courageous. Your belief is courageous. Peter and John, they were courageous in their mission to live as Jesus and spread the good news about him. But they're not anyone special. They're not any more above average than you and I. In fact, in Acts chapter 4, verse 13, the religious leaders even point out how ordinary they were. They said, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Now you see, the apostles had an unshakable confidence in speaking the truth despite the undoubtedly intimidating circumstances. That's a hallmark of Jesus's followers: spirit-empowered, courageous speech in the face of difficulties and uncertainties and the storms of life. That's what Jesus promised anyway. Jesus told his disciples in Luke chapter 21, he says, "When you're brought before synagogues, rulers, authorities," you fill in the blank, "do not worry about how you will defend yourself or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say." You know, many times I used to think, like, what happens if I'm on a missions trip, let's say, like the people we're praying for, and I'm taken hostage and told you have to give a defense for your faith, or, you know, all these extreme examples and or this or that, or even things that would happen at home, I always thought, like, what would I say? Would I keep my faith? Would I be strong and bold like we read about in the Bible? You don't have to worry. Jesus says that when it comes to that moment, if you're put in situations or whatever you're placed in, whether it seems extreme or not, he says, by my Spirit, I'm going to give you the words to say and what you should do. He says, don't worry about it because I'm with you. Peter and John had that Holy Spirit empowering them to speak with boldness that we see there. Scripture also notes at the end of verse 13, you'll see that they note that the men had been with Jesus. That's the only explanation for the apostles' unexpected eloquence and effective speech, that they had been with Jesus. So my question is, have I been with Jesus? Are you reflecting in your actions, your words, your thoughts, the effects of being with Jesus? Because if you desire to have a belief in Jesus that's courageous and bold in the midst of life uncertainties, in the midst of your workplace or home or your community, then you have to spend time with Jesus. There's no way around it. You have to spend time with Jesus. It's the only way that you'll receive that courage and boldness to live on mission. So make time to be with Jesus. Let his way of life brush off on you so that when people meet you, they can say he or she has been with Jesus. That's the courageous belief you have in order for you to stand in the midst of a world that's opposed to God, because you're associating yourself with the Savior. Well, after Peter and John were released from prison, they went back to the other Christians and they held a prayer meeting. They knew they needed the strength to maintain this courage and this boldness. Read what they prayed for from God. They said, now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Peter and John could have prayed for anything. They could have asked for revenge on the religious leaders or to be, removed from those situations. Or they could have prayed for, fill in the blank, any of that. But they prayed for power and boldness. The desire was for them to continue to stand for Jesus, to live life on mission, no matter what, because they realized that your life situations, your trials, your ups, your downs, that can change in a heartbeat. But what doesn't change is your ability to receive the power that you need from Jesus Christ. And that's what they wanted more of, because they knew everything around them could change. But what doesn't change is Jesus Christ. A 19th century clergyman encouraged Christians in this way. He said, do not pray for easy lives. Pray to be stronger men and women. Do not pray for tasks equal to your powers. Pray for powers equal to your task. You don't know what's going to come your way. But you know that God is with you, that his Spirit has empowered you to stand strong and be courageous in the midst of whatever comes your way. Peter and John wanted to have a courageous faith that was not just dependent upon their abilities, but dependent upon the greatness of God. So genuine faith, genuine belief is challenged. It's contagious and it's courageous. Well, one of my favorite authors and pastors is John Ortberg, and he told a story of one day when him and his friends were in Southern California out on the beach, and they were walking along the beach, and they're walking past a bar, and this fight kind of pours out of the bar and out onto the streets. It's kind of like an old Western where all these guys are beating up on the one guy, and he's bleeding, he's beat up. And so John says, well, my friends and I, we knew we needed to do something. So they had a very intimidating plan. They walked up to this group and says, hey guys, you got to stop doing that. As you can imagine, that wasn't that effective, and it didn't do very much good. But then John described how all of a sudden the guys looked up with fear in their eyes, and the ones who had been beating up on the one guy started to, shrink away. Well, John said he didn't know why they were doing that until he turned around and saw probably the biggest man he had ever seen in his entire life. He said he was probably 6'7" and 300 pounds, probably 2% body fat. He was just huge. So John and his friends referred to him as Bubba. not to his face, but after the fact. This was Bubba. But Bubba, when he came out and stood behind the group, he didn't say a word. He just stood there and flexed. You could tell that he kind of wanted the guys to come at him and give it a go of having a fight. But then John said his attitude changed. It was transformed. And he walked up to the group of guys and he was like, you better not let us catch you around here anymore. You know, his attitude changed because he had a great big Bubba behind him. John was ready to confront with resolve and confidence. He was released from anxiety and fear. He was filled with boldness and courage. He was ready to help somebody who needed helping. He was ready to serve wherever it was ready to be served because he had a great big Bubba. He was convinced that he was not alone, that he was safe. Well, John said that if he was convinced that Bubba was going to be with him for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, he would have a fundamentally different approach to life. Well, the truth is, you and I, John, we don't have Bubba with us all the time. But we do have the one who is greater than Bubba. And he's promised to be with us 24/7. You don't have to wonder if he's going to be there for you in the midst of your struggles and your trials and the uncertainties of life when your faith is challenged. You don't have to wonder if God will be with you and give you the ability to follow Jesus, because the love to love others is far more rewarding than the cost of obedience. You can have faith that is contagious because your God is with you. As you continue to seek time to be with Jesus, you don't have to wonder if God will fill you with his Spirit and give you boldness to stand tall, because it is for his namesake and his message that he fills you with courage. He's with you every step of the way. So live on mission. Live with a belief, with a faith that's challenged. Live with a belief, with a faith that is contagious. And live with a belief and a faith that's courageous. Let's pray. God, we do thank you for your Spirit that has come and you have given to each of those who follow you. We ask you, by your Holy Spirit, you allow us to live on mission for you, a mission that stays true to point no matter what comes our way, no matter what uncertainties or trials or storms we face. We know that we can have the confidence that you are with us every step of the way. We thank you. We pray that you give us the ability to stand strong in the midst of the times where our faith is challenged. When our faith needs to be contagious, give us the strength to love other people as you have loved us. Allow us to be courageous in the midst of those times. But Lord, draw us to yourself so that we can be people who have been with you. The only way that we can have the power and the boldness is to be with you. We thank you and we pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Will we come?